Okay, it's Monday, November 9th, 2009, and I'm in Salina, Kansas with Karen Cooksey. All right. Well, I guess let's just start with where you grew up and what church you were involved with as a child.
Okay. The first church that I remember being involved with was the, at that time, it was a community church in Bogue, and would have been in the early 50s. I've probably been in the late 40s, probably 47, 48 when we first started going to Sunday school and Bible school. I remember a lot of Bible school activities. Mm-hmm. And
it was just a community church. It wasn't affiliated with.
It wasn't. And what I remember is that it was the Bogue Community Church. And as time went on, in order to be assured of a pastor at all the times, they needed to affiliate with a denomination, and that's when it became the Bogue United Methodist Church, or the Bogue Methodist Church. I don't know, I don't even remember when United came into play. That's when I think the Brethren churches kind of, you know, went in with it. But my religious experience has not been with any other church other than the Methodist Church.
Okay, so it became part of the Methodist organization, so
right,
so it can stay open.
Right. Well, so that they would have a denomination to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Okay, and how long were you out there? How long were you a member of that church?
Well, we lived in Bogue all of our lives, and that's, like I said, that was the only church I had ever gone to. We moved to Palco in 1971 and probably started going to church there in, well, shortly after that. So I don't remember when I changed my membership to Palco, but probably in the late 70s.
Okay.
To be quite honest, I was a little reluctant to give up membership in my home church.
Mm-hmm.
But we did, and it was a good experience. And in 2002, we moved to Salina, and we transferred our membership down here to Church of the Cross United Methodist. So,
and across the three churches, have you seen, I mean, have they pretty much been similar experiences? Have there been?
I think so. You know, it's the congregation that makes up the church. It's the people
mm-hmm.
that make it up, and all three of them have been wonderful experiences. We still, when we go home, we don't always go to church when we're out that way, but we still try to see our church friends, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
from that time.
The church that you belong to now, do they have two different services, a contemporary and a traditional?
We do have.
Okay, and which one do you attend?
We go to the traditional.
And is that's pretty similar to the churches, the other two that you...
Right,
that you
right.
Have.
Yeah, of course, that's what we grew up with traditional
right.
churches, and we love the order of worship and the old hymns and that kind of stuff.
What would you say the main differences are between the traditional and the contemporary services?
I think basically the music.
Mm-hmm.
They like the newer songs, the more of the chorus, praise chorus songs, as opposed to the old traditional hymns.
So which service draws more of a crowd?
Down here, it used to be, we had more at second service, which was the traditional service.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the present time, I think the contemporary service is probably has the larger attendance.
I would assume they draw more of the younger crowd.
Right.
So eventually, do you see the traditional services kind of disappearing completely, or do you think there will always be a need for...
I think there will always be a need for a traditional service, at least. They like to call our second service a blended service,
mm-hmm.
but I think there will always be a need for a traditional service.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose the history of these songs. And one of the things that kind of concerns me is that I don't think our kids are learning the Sunday school songs that we did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that should be revived because, you know, I mean, everybody knows Jesus loves me, but that could be about all of those old songs that right. that we sang in Sunday school.
So the children's programs that they do have in the church that you go to now, are they separate from the congregation in the regular service, or do the children have Sunday school and then also attend the...
There's Sunday school, but I think, yeah, I think kids, they're very welcome to come to church, mm-hmm. and there is a time of the children's sermon during our regular service, yeah.
Was that the same way that it was set up when you went to the church in Vogue?
I don't really remember as a children's service as such in Vogue. I don't know if it started that long ago. While we were in Palco, we had a children's service at that time. Okay. But I just don't remember. While we lived in Vogue, a lot of times we just, my daughter and I went to Sunday school, and we didn't go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we hardly ever missed Sunday school. Mm-hmm. I felt it was really important that she be in Sunday school. And so we would go to Sunday school, and we didn't always go to church. I think they had church at 9 o'clock and Sunday school at 10, and it was easier to go at 10 than it was at 9. Right.
Can you talk a little bit about the youth programs that they have for, you know, not the smaller children, but maybe teenagers? Okay.
In Vogue, of course, I was a member of what do they call that?
Just the youth group? Or?
Yeah, it was a youth group. Anyway, we had a very active, and I think Vogue still does have a really active youth group. They still do a lot of things according to what I hear anyway. And Palco's youth group was a little smaller. It was a little harder to get the kids involved. And down here at Church of the Cross, we have a really active youth group. They have their own little band, mm-hmm. and they meet, I think the junior high kids meet on Wednesday night, and the youth others meet Sunday afternoon, and they have a really active group. They try to go on a mission trip every year and mm-hmm. do some things like that, and have fundraisers, and yeah, we have really great youth leaders. So,
okay. Have you, in recent years, have you seen your current congregation? Do you feel like it's growing? Do you feel like it's declining?
I don't see a lot of growth in our church down here. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about it different times. The membership stays about the same, and the Sunday morning group doesn't seem to be getting larger.
Do you see the church taking any active steps to grow the congregation? Do they advertise, or do they?
We try to reach out. We have a block. Party the first of September, I think it is. Anyway, and you try to reach out. This year they had a kind of like a carnival type thing set up. There was a candy bar walk, and there was a bouncing house for the kids, and mm-hmm. cotton candy, and we had a classic car show, and they had a really big turnout for that. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully from reaching out in that way, you would get some more people interested. We also have a preschool in our church, and so there's a lot of families that we can reach there. We try to reach the families of those kids. Mm-hmm. And
so you don't have to be a member of the church to use the preschool?
No, okay. No. In fact, many of them are not. But if they don't have a church affiliation, you know, then we would encourage them to come to us. And And we try to reach out to those little kids.
Is the preschool staffed by members of the church?
Not necessarily. Okay. They have teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Along the same lines of, you know, reaching out to try and bring members in from the community, do you have activities outside of just the regular worship, like fellowship among the congregation? You know,
right.
Well, I think you had mentioned you just got back from a knitting group.
Yes, yes. There's a fellowship committee, and they try to have an activity sponsored by a different Sunday school class or a different group at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday night, we have a meal, and we have the children's activities. Then they're serving up. I help with the meal planning and the meal group. There's a group of eight of us. We call ourselves the kitchen crew, and we fix the meals on Wednesday night. Last week we had 95 that we served. So normally 70 to 90 people on Wednesday night that we serve. And then the kids break off into their little groups and go do their activities and stuff. And on Thursday morning, we have, we call it TLC. It's a coffee group that lifts up people that need in the church that need prayers. We meet for coffee about an hour and go through the list of prayer concerns. Then on Monday afternoons, we have prayer shawl ministry. And there's probably 18 to 25 of us that meet, and we knit and crochet and talk and discuss and do that.
Are there men's groups?
The United Methodist Men have just banded together probably within the last year. They meet early morning for breakfast at one of the local cafes and have breakfast, so that's going pretty well. We have United Methodist Women that meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
so there's quite a lot of fellowship outside of
there is
just the normal Sunday service.
There is. There's something going on at the church all the time. There's
mm-hmm.
there's AA groups that meet in the church. There's a talks group that meets in the church. The Boy Scouts meet. I mean, there's an activity going on almost every night.
Mm-hmm.
At the church, and within the past year, they've started a prayer vigil, a 24-hour prayer vigil once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So once a month, there's someone in the church praying for 24 hours, and
mm-hmm.
you sign it for your hour or half-hour slot, whatever.
How did you, when you moved to Salina, how did you end up at this particular Methodist church? Because I know is there four?
I think there's six.
Six.
Okay. Well, when we first moved down here, Reverend Jim Graves had been in the Bogue Hill City Parish
mm-hmm.
after we moved to Palco, but not too long after that. So we sort of knew him,
mm-hmm.
and he happened to be at Church of the Cross at the time mm-hmm. that we moved down here. So we didn't visit other churches or anything. We just... Okay, Reverend Graves is here. That's where God wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really well for us. Otherwise, we would have probably gone with Jim and Marilyn.
Okay.
You know, because we knew that they went to university and we probably would have done that. But we just found a home at Church of the Cross.
And so that's where you stayed. Well, kind of along those lines, the Methodist Church, I know, rotates their pastors in and out. Have you ever seen that become an issue for a congregation with maybe them not wanting a certain pastor to leave or maybe not wanting a certain pastor that had just come?
Right. I think it happens probably with about every pastor change that some people will leave because they didn't like that you had to give your pastor up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the new one comes in, there's always some people that aren't happy with the way he's doing services, so they'll go someplace else. We didn't notice it out home, Because, well, in Palco, it was the only church in Palco. The Methodist Church was the only church in Palco. There were several other churches, but we were the only one in town. And people didn't, they didn't leave because of the minister. You might gain a person or two, a family or two, but they didn't leave. Down here, we've noticed that they do. There's so many other options out there. So if you don't like what's going on in your church, you're going to find a place, you know, you're going to find a place to go.
Have you seen people voice their concerns?
Yes.
Or,
Yeah. Yeah, they have. A lot of talk around the table, more than going to the source, mm-hmm. you know. But
you've never seen, like, a campaign form to try and remove?
No, we haven't. No, right. Uh-uh. No. Okay. Just kind of go along with what the conference thinks is better for you. And some ministers, I remember when they were changing, like, about every 2 years, which you didn't really get attached to a minister. But I remember at one time at Vogue, there was a minister there for probably, I don't remember how long he was there. And when he left, because everybody liked him, I mean, he was good, he fit into the community and all of that. And I think it took at least 2 pastoral changes before the community settled down and said, mm-hmm. you know, we're the church. We have to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I know we talked about how, you know, they're kind of moving towards the more contemporary services. Are there any other changes that you've seen as you've watched the church progress, just maybe in forms of, like, the way people dress, or, you know, or people start wearing their Sunday best to church, or?
It depends a lot on the people. I think it's a lot more casual dress now than it was, say, well, 20 or 30 years ago. About everybody dressed up to go to church. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people do now. And it's very widely accepted to go, come as you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that helps to draw crowds, as the come as you are philosophy?
I would think maybe. Yeah. I think people feel more comfortable dressed casually, mm-hmm. you know. Personally, I like to wear a dress to church, but I don't have a problem with anybody that doesn't want to wear it. And, right. and I think probably the majority of people do not, mm-hmm. you know, wear dresses to church. But I just, my own self, I feel better about, you know, dressing to go to church.
Right. Okay. As far as things, taking care of things around the church, the upkeep of the building, the upkeep of the lawns, is that something that the congregation helps with? Is that, do you guys contract out? Do you hire custodial people?
I think our lawn care is probably volunteer. There is a hired church custodian. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that has to be in any church. I mean, at Vogue, different families used to do it, and at that time it worked out pretty well, because we're talking like 40 years ago. But and then at Palco, we tried that for a while, but it didn't. It was just better to hire a janitor or maintenance person. And Church of the Cross has a wonderful maintenance person now. I mean, he just does a really good job.
Do you know how old your building is that you're in currently?
I think it's 40-ish. I think they said it was built in the 60s, maybe the early 60s. Okay. Yeah, it's just now starting to need a lot of repair, you know.
And how are you guys addressing that? Is that something they're asking for donations, or?
Yeah, we have of course, the Board of Trustees, which is, that's one of the committees of the Methodist Church. I mean, every church has a Board of Trustees that kind of oversees this, and that committee does that and, you know, kind of tries to, and the funds are budgeted, that, you know, to take care of things like that. You have to kind of work within your budget, and anticipate what you're going to need, and then you submit a budget, and it's approved by another committee, and you know, you kind of have to work with the funds that you have coming in. But yeah.
Do you know how people find themselves on the board of trustees? How somebody gets into that position?
There's a what we call a lay leadership committee that tries to find people that are willing to serve as the board of trustees, or to serve on any committees, actually. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many committees there are in the Methodist Church. Quite a few. And it's kind of the job of that committee to ask people if they're willing to serve. Usually they try to get them to serve for a 2 or 3 year period, you know. And so the board of trustees and the finance committee, the worship committee, some of those are the, you know, the harder ones to fill, because you have to have people that are interested and willing to work to keep your church going, actually.
Yeah.
We don't very often have people come and say, "Now, I'd really like to be on the board of trustees."
Maybe a little coercion.
Yeah.
As far as the, I know we talked about as like as musical expressions, the more traditional service is more hymnal related. What is there? Is there? You said there's a band in the contemporary service?
I think they do have a band. We go to the second service, which is the traditional service, and they don't have a band. We don't have a band playing for that. There's a piano and an organ music for that. Yeah.
And as far as other artistic or symbolic statements inside the church, do you have the typical stained glass or...
There is in the front of the church. There's some stained glass. I'm not sure there is in the sanctuary part of it. You would think I wasn't there yesterday, but I was.
Okay.
And that we have a committee for a couple of girls, actually, that usually, like right now, there's fall decorations on the altar, and they kind of rotate, you know, according to the season.
Now, when you, I know you said that you seem to be involved in a lot of the groups in your church besides Sundays, but when you were growing up, was the church still something that had a pretty big effect on your daily life, or was it more of just something that people did on Sundays?
I think when I was younger, I mean, when I was probably until I got involved with the youth group in church, probably it was just basically a Sunday, or even the first that I remember was basically just Bible school. Mm-hmm. We lived 8 miles out in the country, and I'm not sure we came in even on Sundays too often for that. It was mainly just Bible school. And after I was married and got involved with United Methodist Women and Sunday school, while I was in high school, I helped teach the nursery kids in Sunday school. So I was involved that way. And we didn't get real involved with a lot of the everyday activities in the church until after our daughter was away from home. I guess we didn't have her school activities to go to and stuff like that, and we needed a little something, so we became more involved with the church at that time.
So do you just have one, you have one daughter?
Right.
And did you, was she raised in the church?
She was.
And is she still a member of the Methodist Church?
No, she isn't. She married Catholic and became Catholic, and wasn't real happy in the Catholic religion, and when she divorced, then she went to more of a the church here in town was Crossroads, and it's more of a, I don't know, I suppose more of a contemporary church.
Okay.
Of some kind. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's what she seems to like better, so.
Okay. Could you talk about maybe, is there some kind of process or class or requirement for people that want to come into the church that weren't raised Methodist but would like to join the church?
They do have membership classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if we took, of course, my membership class, because I was probably, well, I think I was 10 when we took the membership class and joined the church.
Mm-hmm. So you can take that as a child too, or it was just like your family? Or
yeah, it was, what did they call it? Confirmation class.
Okay.
We took a confirmation class.
Mm-hmm.
And then you became a member when you finished the confirmation class.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if my parents were members of the church or not. I don't think they were. I don't think my parents were actually members of the church at that time.
But they do have a process that adults can go
sure, to. Yes. Yeah, you would take a membership class.
Okay.
And, you know, express a desire to affiliate and to be a part of the church and take the membership class. Yeah.
Could you explain a little bit about what you meant when you moved and you had to transfer your membership, what that process is? Or
the process, as far as I know, we just went to the minister and said, you know, we need to, it's time for us to transfer our membership, you know, down here.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the Methodist Church, you paid apportionments to the conference, and that's to kind of help keep the overall church going, and it was based on membership. So it was important that if you left the church and quit supporting it, you know, that you transfer your membership, because they were still paying apportionments on your membership in that church. So anymore, it's not based it's strictly on membership, and it's maybe it might not be as important, but you feel like you're more a part of the church if you're a member.
Okay.
And you know,
so is that why you were maybe reluctant at first to transfer your
right
membership?
At Palco, I never even thought about transferring membership until we got a letter from the committee in Vogue, and they said, you know, if you're going someplace else and you aren't really supporting our church or whatever, you know, do you still want to remain a member? So at that time, we did just transfer. I transferred my membership and Steve joined. My husband joined. He hadn't been a member of Vogue.
Okay.
So, and then when we moved down here, we just knew that, you know, we were going to support this church. This is going to be our church. That's where our membership belonged.
Okay.
So we actually requested that membership change.
Okay. Are there any, you've been with the Methodist Church a long time, are there any maybe memorable characters or pastors or even members of the congregation that just for some reason have really stuck out in your mind?
I don't think you ever forget your Sunday school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
From when you were little. And of course, every pastor makes an impression on you. I mean, yeah, I remember good things about most of the pastors and the Sunday school teachers, the people that you work with in committees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's all part of the process of just living in a Christian community.
Mm-hmm. Were there, did you have any pastors that maybe were just more dynamic than others, that stood out than others, that, you know, maybe you were very upset to see them leave, or what was it about them that made them so memorable?
I feel very fortunate that we've remained friends with so many of the pastors. We have two or three that we still visit with that have, were pastors, 20 or more years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you still consider them good friends. I had one pastor's wife tell us one time, she said, "We were your pastor, and when they went someplace else," she says, "now we can be your friends." Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good philosophy, too. But and to say what makes them more memorable, I think it's kind of the way you relate to them. You know, some, you just become more friendly with, mm-hmm. maybe because you've worked closer with them in the church, or really enjoyed the, of course, all of, I don't know that there's been a pastor that didn't give good sermons, didn't, you know, have a good Sunday morning service, and I think a lot of it is how you interact with them the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as far as maybe the church's view on current things that are happening in the world, or even do they seem to be, have a more liberal view, a more conservative view? Do the things that are going on around the world, like the war in Iraq, or do those affect things that are said in the sermons, or?
I'm sure it does. I mean, we all know that the economic times are not the best, mm-hmm. and there's prayer requests along those lines, and depends a lot on the people, you know, I mean, whether it's a liberal or a conservative view, because there's quite an age group, you know, too, mm-hmm. so I don't know how that affects. I think it would be really hard on the ministers to have to kind of take a middle of the line view on things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do support, I know a few years ago we sent boxes of whatever was requested, toiletries, I think, men's toiletries and mm-hmm. and supplies to Iraq. If someone has a family member that's in this, in the armed services, and requests anything, yeah, we're there to do that,
mm-hmm.
to support that, and to do what we can do for, along those lines.
Do you have, are there people from your congregation that have been overseas? Do you have members of the service in there?
We have several that have family members in service, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we've about covered everything I have, unless is there anything else that you'd like to share? Or?
My experiences in the church have been positive. I mean, I've not ever had a real, what I would call a bad experience
mm-hmm.
with any of the churches.
And you feel like it's had a pretty, I mean, it's influenced your everyday life and the way you view things and make your decisions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think God's been a very real part of our lives.
mm-hmm.
And, I think He'll guide you and direct you in the way you should go if you'll just listen.
Oh, I did want to ask you about one other thing. Do you have, I don't know, a group or somebody who assists in like bereavement processes or grief counseling? anything like that? Do you have something within your church that is set up for that?
Not that I'm aware of, not directly. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the minister meets with the families, and we're involved with like a funeral dinner, mm-hmm. when that's necessary, but that's a good point. I don't know that there is a bereavement committee or process or people that help in circumstances like that. And there should be, shouldn't there? That's part of the process. I know our church is very supportive of a family that's lost a member. Mm-hmm. But after that initial week or month or whatever, I'm not sure.